Mr. Dobson Reel 22. Was there a great deal of difference between these hoochies and the accommodation on 355 and what you've been used to in the past?
No, not really. I mean, they were all like underground and that. Just to see them built in these woods and that, you know, like tree trunks and that. So it was just about to see them, really. I just forget my hoochie there, never mind there. I've tried to think on it, I couldn't. Not. Like I say, I only had 3 days.
Was your hoochie in the company headquarters? Were they all close by?
Yeah, well, you did get them separated, you know, just in case of shelling. Well, you know, they were pretty close together, a matter of a few yards.
And was the company headquarters a dugout?
Yeah, the main place.
Was there a large dugout?
Yes, it's always a large one. That's where he has his, he used to have the 88 sets in there for wireless. But like on a night, I'm nearly certain he used to go out to the top, the major. Yeah. He used to go out to the top. And the 2IC, or whatever. You know. So that they were there if there was any trouble, which I think they did get a lot of trouble. Patrol-wise, you know, hitting them and all that, and I think there's one or two wounded in that. So, and if I remember rightly, I'm not dead sure of this, but we did get a new lieutenant back at Camp Casey. I think it was the first time they were up on the line, and he took a patrol out, and something happened, and he went off. And I'm not sure whether it's one of these blokes that was killed or missing, and he never returned to the patrol, you know. So I think they waited so long, and they come back in, reported, and then they did a sweep and all that. I'm not sure whether it's that one or not, the first time in, and he's never been seen since. And that bloke, Ratcliffe or somebody you call him, I think, he's still on the memorial in Busan, is listed as missing. And, like I say, they did send a patrol out the next night to cover the valley, and they didn't find no bodies or anything. So
he gone out on patrol and just never been seen?
Yeah, it was the only time he gone out. First time, I think it was. And he'd never been seen since. His name was on the memorial. Because we had a look when I went back to Korea. And I think it's Ratcliffe you call him. In fact, he was a full lieutenant. Not like a second lieutenant, he was a full lieutenant. I think it was the first time we were up.
You say the colonel often went up to the front during the night time.
The major. Major Lubridge.
Major Lubridge. Who would that leave back at the company headquarters?
Well, there was always the sergeant major, or maybe the 2IC if he wasn't out on patrol. Or, you know,
was that Barini at the time?
Barini, yes. Aye. He was captain then, Captain Barini. Because, like I say, later on, when I was in the air, we used to take the rations up and everything like that, and they had to see to them over there, you know, and book them in and all that. So, there was always one of them there, you know. So,
was he in constant touch with these company commanders?
Oh, yeah, he was always on there. Like I said, them in the line, one of the lines I was in, I used to do it during the night to the, you know, the platoons. Keep in touch every few minutes or every half hour or something like that. Just ring, you know, give them a ring, you know, just to make sure everything was all right.
And that was telephone communication?
This was the 88 set. It was one of the big ones, you know, hello, you know, Bonnie Evel, you know, report my signals over, you know, and just keep in touch like that. But there was a telephone line, mate, just in case you couldn't get them on the 88 set. Or you had the 88 set in case that was blown out, the wire. You know, you had the signal call, you know. So, yeah, they were always in touch. All the time. You know.
What about stand twos?
We always did it. You did it one day as it was putting in dark. And as it getting daylight. Because I think most of the times when they usually get a hit, that was when they would do it, you know, hit you. So we always did it like, you know, everybody in the company, didn't matter who it was, stood to. Didn't matter what you were. If you were bad, you had to stand up and, you know. So you had to do it.
So it was still a normal stand to as well?
Yeah, just the same as the others. Normal. Yep. Oh, yeah, you had to do that.
And I guess much of the work would be done at night.
Yeah, anything, yeah, you know, trenches went widening or things like that, standing patrols or working, you know, during the night, fetching rations up. All that was done at night, so it was finished for daybreak for the stand two.
And then after stand two at daybreak, what was the daily routine?
Well, yeah, I mean, you didn't, everybody didn't get to sleep. I mean, you always had somebody in the fighting trenches looking out, keeping watch. So that, you know, actually you didn't get a creep up on you. Just if you could get out the way, you know, if you were doing a job, out the way, you know, so he couldn't see you. Sometimes he could see you from like the sides of the valley. You know, he might have a hill away by the side of 355 to shell you, which we've had. And you just had to keep down, that was all. Try and keep you low as you could and that, and just try and get on with your work.
Was there much to do during the day?
Well, you had maybe ammunition take up to the top, you know, send up on the Flying Fox or things like that in 355, or any other hill, you know, get around to them. Rations. Some places had maybe the cookhouse, a little cookhouse on the one, you know, so you had to get rations to them.
This was done during the day?
Well, I had to eat during the day, you know, just to see him. Like, so a lot of it was done during the day just to see him. As long as you kept down, I mean, you could move at night. But there again, sometimes you could see you up on the top, you know, you could see you, cheeky, you know. So you had to be careful.
You mentioned bringing supplies. What were the meals like?
Well, it was all that dehydrated stuff, you know, cabbage and that. You know, you had to put in some water and that, and it used to swell out, things like that. Eggs, fried eggs on the morning and that. The bacon was like hard, you know, dehydrated, you know, to fry and that. Porridge, we had porridge. I didn't know about milk, I can't remember about milk, mate, so I can't say about that. But, oh yeah, I didn't think you eat that bad. You might get fried bread if you use a decent cook.
You're getting hot meals in the front line.
Oh yeah, I'm getting hot meals, aren't you? Oh, you ought to have them. I mean, during the winter, it was getting out of cold.
Were they cooked in the front line? Did you have to cook them yourself?
No, they were a cook. Yeah, there was quite a few of the Durhams. The way a mate of mine from Seam, Charlie Wilson, he went on a course cooking. He didn't want it, but he had a gun, you know. And then he come back and he was a cook. You know, and he used to do the breakfast and all that, Charlie. He says mine is one of the best things he's ever done, learn about it on the course. You know, he didn't get very long on the course. And but that's what he did. He was a cook.
So whereabouts would they cook the meals?
Down at the bottom of the hill, most of them. Some places you went in, they might have had a little bit of a cookhouse where they kept stuff, you know. But Morse was the main one at the bottom of the hill, and the Russians just took, you know, out to them.
And then they were taken
to the platoons, yeah. Most of the places, anyway. But, I'm here. So I must eat, all right. I remember having, I did pinch a tin of salmon, I'll be honest. So we had salmon and chips and that, you know, potatoes. We had that mash as well, like, a lot of that. Hard times you get teas. Oh, we eat all right. Tea, plenty tea. You know, so, hot chocolate on a night. You know, they would generally come round the stand and patrol anything. You know, the hot chocolate or something like that. We're all right. I mean, company headquarters is better off. I mean, we're with the cougars. So we did get it. That's right, aye. Plus, I mean, when the cougar was being there, we hadn't, you know, we did run, I'll be honest. that would stop you getting nipping in. You know what I mean? I know it was wrong. But you did it. If you were hungry, you would eat out. You know. I mean, I'll be honest. Onions, even today. You kind of, my wife kind of make me eat them. But out there, I'll eat them. They just went down, you know, if they were there. But, oh, you eat.
And it was pretty much the same as it had been in other parts when they were in the line.
Yeah, just the same, exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah, same rations, I mean. Yeah.
But what about your sanitation? How did you wash?
Well, we had the jerry cans, water. There was like these tablets. You could that you lay a little on a little burner, and you could put the tablets on and set have fire to them, and put yourself some hot water on, you know, and that's how you got a shave. The hot water in that now, and maybe in the same water, get a wash, you know. But the jerry cans of water was there. There's plenty of that. We just take it up to the companies on the night time, you know, fill them up and take them up. So there's always water, drinking water, and water to wash with. I mean, you might wash in your mess tins, you know, but I used to wash all right.
I know you were only at 2 or 3 days, but what about fresh clothing? What were the arrangements?
Well, I used to send them back and they used to get washed. Where they got washed, I couldn't tell you, mind. Well, I mean, I used to have a lot of socks and vests and pants and all that, you know, and shirts and that. I had a lot, so really I didn't do so bad. I always had clean stuff. I mean, that was one thing they emphasised, cleanliness, shaving even. If they made you sorry without having been shaved, straight on a charge, you know, you had to be clean. Doesn't matter if you're going to get shot, you had to be clean. You know, I shaved. So, really, you took a little bit of pains over it, which was better for yourself, hygiene. Now and again, I don't know, it was once a week or something, they'll take you out the line and get a nice hot shower somewhere. You know, farther back. The Yanks had them, the Australians had them, places to get a good wash, heated up. Some American places you took your things off and you had your shower and that. When you got to the other side, you got clean stuff. So maybe it's once a week or something, you got a good shower for cleanliness.
You mentioned there being possibly put on a charge. What was discipline like?
Well, it was good. I mean, really, you couldn't get out of hand. Everybody knew that they knew it. So I can't remember anybody really, I mean, and I was in company headquarters, anybody been really charged, you know, really. If he had was getting charged for not shaving, he'd probably do jankers or something when he come back out the line, you know, and rest. When I went back to the echelon, the lad I was in the sword with, he got put on jankers. Because he didn't get on parade. You know, so it was, you know, you had to be careful, you know. But, I mean, nobody went daft, you know, so. And let you clean, keep yourself clean, which, I mean, you always did, didn't you? You know.
Well, as you mentioned before, keeping yourself from the trench clean for obvious reasons. Was there much vermin in the trenches?
Well, there was rats, and you know, that was what my mate's job was for the toilets, you know, for to get run off, or you know, he had to keep them clean. This DDT stuff or something, you know. And I mean, one of these holes was about, you're going down about 6 foot or something like that.
Can you describe the latrines?
Well, you always had I remember one. It was a, oh God, it must have been So I didn't know. I did look down, to be honest. Where it must have been about 10 foot down. And there was like four places to sit on it. Yeah, it was made on the morning every crack. This is when I was back at the ice road, like. Really, it was all DDT stuff around, you know. You stand in it, you know, some on the seats, not, you know. But most times, mate, it was kept clean. I mean, blokes did look after themselves. And, but they really, the toilets was kept clean, mate. My mate was thorough, Holland. He didn't like the dirty.
So who dug them? You
mentioned the Koreans, they would dig them. You know, supervised. They would do it.
And they could hold, what, something like 4 men at a time?
Aye, sometimes you just get one. Maybe in the platoon, you just get one, you know, one at a time gun. Company headquarters, maybe one or, you know, two. I think the major name, they are down. You know, they didn't. I think they are doing, like.
But whereabouts were they positioned?
Well, they're always like at the back side of the hill, though, it just moves down the sheet down the hill, you know. Like, and if it was on the hillside, it was camouflaged. So he was sitting there, you know, looking out at the valleys. He was getting good views. But then, I'll say that for Alan Foster, mind. He did have his toilets, and he did have them clean, mind. He used to play hell if anybody damaged anything, you know. All it was a sharp pipe, you know, to get a run off down. That's all it was, a sharp.
They were different, weren't they? There were different arrangements for you.
Yeah. Oh, aye. This was just a shell into the burn. Maybe it's a decent hole to do. As many bricks as you could for running away, you know. And then filled in and the pipe put in. And DDT round, you know. Amazing, the little hole. You had to get into there.
Would they be built just off the trench?
Yeah, they would, yes. And the toilets, they farther back below the hill.
The toilets much.
Yeah. I mean, no, because you didn't want them trailing down there for a runoff. I suppose fellas did get around somewhere else, they would, you know, but he did. That's one thing I can say about Alan Foster. He's a good sanitary man. You know.
What other sort of duties were they to do during the day?
You had to keep your gun clean. And like I say, your tidiness. Meal time, your meals. You used to fetch the meal up at night. I mean, you also for a similar or a parcel. Really, you kept a lower figure during the day, you know, really. Was it night where you? Most of the work went on.
Were you allowed to sleep during the day?
Yeah, you did get to sleep.
Was there any kind of rota for that, or were you just allowed to sleep as and when you wanted?
Well, I think there might have just been maybe in company of quarters, one of us knocking about, the rest would be sleeping. The platoons would have, you know, most of them sleep. Well, we used to maybe have about 2 hours jobbing on, you know, and then was about 4 hours off, and then somebody would take over. So there was always somebody knocking about, in case there was something to do. Like,
so what sort of things would you be doing during, talking particularly about during the day at the company headquarters? What would there be to do? What duties would you have?
Well, when the major or something, I'm back to the meeting. At battalion headquarters with the jeep, and I might be away there a few hours, you know, and then come back up for the night time. Cleaning up round about the area, making sure there's nothing lying about, not, you know, either. Which Colonel Jeffries, I mean, he was strict on that. He would, if he come up, he'd have a look, see what the area was in particular like, you know. So, there's always something to do, clean up on it. Like I say, sometimes I've helped the mat a meal. You know, helping the cook, whoever he was, you know. Things like that. So there was always something. Ronnie Taylor, he was like the company clerk. So he had to do that during the day, you know. I mean, who was fit, you know, anybody going sick, make arrangements for to get them out, you know, like a jeep to come pick them up at first light, you know, get them back in. But he's, like you say, we're getting leave then, at, you know, Tokyo and that, and Incheon. So we had to arrange that, Ronnie, for Bloss going out, for to go and leave, and Bloss coming back. So really, I don't know, your days was full, you know, writing letters. You got time off to write your letter, you know, at home. Radio letters, if you had to get mail in it, parcels. We used to get a parcel every now and again from the mayor of Durham. And, like the school here, they adopted the day company when it's been in it, you know. We used to get a parcel from them. So, really, the days just took up mind. And I mean, the days then were shorter, you know, during the winter, you know, things. I mean, that's when the Durhams did the time, really, that winter. You know, in the summer, like, but it was mostly winter, short days. So there's always something to do, like, you know, always.
I suppose weather was a little warmer this time.
It was getting, yeah. That was when it was starting to get the spring, like.
You mentioned a couple of things there. Sickness, was there much sickness in the battalion?
Yeah, you used to get one or two blokes. We had a medical bloke with us in the front line, and if he couldn't do anything for him, he would send him back to battalion headquarters, you know, to see the medical officer. Just depends what was wrong with him.
What sort of things in general?
Well, he might have sprained his ankle, might have been patrol, or even knocking about, or maybe he's had a cold. We had some where there were, was it like a disease, like rats that fallen and scratched them, you know. We had quite a few lads like that, and they had to go back to get treated. And when they come back, all the hair was off, you know, they'd been treated for some sort of disease. I forget now what he called it. But it was rats scratching them and that, things like that. So there was a bit sickness. I mean, I had stomach trouble myself. That was the start of the ulcer. But all I used to get was like a like chalk stuff, you know, to take. That was my main thing, like. So every now and again I had to go back and see the medical, get some more, you know.
And you mentioned leave as well. Were lads going away on leave and coming back whilst you were in the front?
Yeah. Oh, they are. That's one thing they did. They would let you go, you know, Incheon. I never went there. That was a short leave. Or Korea, Kiwi, Japan. They did them good. You know, resting in company areas. Some would fetch a wireless back. Somebody brought a gramophone back when, I think it was 3 records. I got sick of hearing them records. Yeah. I forget the names of them now. But never mind. Them 3 records, that's all we heard. You know, a day in doubt, if you went to, I think it was Templeton, I think it was. That's all that you could hear, that. I think you're going to laugh like that.
And what about, again, you mentioned letters from home, I guess that was quite important.
Oh, boy, aye. If when the mail come up, and there wasn't a letter, I think it used to knock you.
Did the mail come every day?
Yeah, it was every... When you were in the front line, I mean, like I did, you know, when I went back to the airshow and I used to fetch it up at night, sort it out, into platoons, you know, and divide, you know, I'd take it to the platoons, give them it, parcels. Oh, it used to be great to give them parcels, you know. I mean, if you didn't get a letter, which, I mean, happened to me a few times, you know, they couldn't write every day. You were lost seeing somebody reading the one. Somebody tell you about what somebody wrote to them, you know, things like that. My mother used to send us the Stanley paper, used to be the local paper, you know, about their local football matches, you know, blown up and Anfield playing in them, you know. It was great to read about them, I mean, still out there. So, really, you look forward to your meal. It was one of the highlights, I think, that, or the parcel. It just depends what was in the parcel, you know. She also used to send me toothpaste now out. My mother. And toothbrush. I think I had about 1,000 toothbrushes. shaving day and that. So but I never bought anything like that. She always used to send it. I think I used to allow out in the pier. I think it was £1, I think. Home. That's all. Well, you know, we're only on about, I don't know, about £3 or something later on in the 2 year. Pound home. And she's saying that she used to put away for us for when it came up, like. But yeah, it was great getting a letter. Like I say, if you didn't get one, oh God, it was awful. Well, it just depends. I think if you come by sea, it was a few weeks, I think, but the parcels, mostly used to come by air. So, really, I don't know, about 3 days or something like that, by air, you know, and then by the time we got up to you, up the front, I think about something like that, about 3 days, maybe 5 days a week, something. But my mother used to ask what the date on that. Remember, I was surprised at someone. Oh, they got there. Maybe just how we held the post. So we didn't do so bad.
Well, and there's, I suppose, after stand two on an evening, your night times were busier.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's really anybody slept. Everybody had something to do, you know, if you want to patrol, or stand patrol, are you? You were in the platoon area or company headquarters, you know, you had to be there.
What sort of duties were done then? What about sentry?
Well, really, I mean, you were always knocking about your area, so I think we did have maybe somebody stand watching, you know, waiting, you know, just in case. But like I say, when the company headquarters, we were behind. It was mostly the three platoons, you know, where they were like jumping on and stand to and all that.
Well, I guess there'd be working parties.
Yeah, well, you always got the working parties. I mean, there was always wiring to be renewed, or, you know, like I've told you, she used to pull it away and it had to be renewed and things like that. And clean the trenches. Just make sure that the fighting trench, what you used to go to, stocked, bullets, ammunition, you know, and grenades, things like that. So, you were always chatting and all that. So, there's a lot to do. It's surprising, you know, when you think about it.
And obviously patrolling as well. Did you do any patrols when you went through?
No, I didn't do one. I was glad as well, because there was little bits of skirmishes and that, you know. So, really a hero. I was all the moment he asked us. Well, he didn't ask us, he told us I was going back to Blaine. I never said no.
Yes, you went back to Ayrshire, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
How did that come about then?
I'd only had about, I think it was about 3 days up in 355, and Major Lovridge told us I was going back there. I think the storming had come home on leave, come on the mob. So he thought that. Well, I might have done me bit or something, or, you know, I was getting near me time, which, well, I was, you know, finishing. So he told us I was going back to the echelon, in the stores.
How long had you been in the army by then?
Well, that would be, well, I come back out in September, so I've been in about 18 months out of the 2 year. So I jumped at the chance, you know. I mean, I'd seen what the day to the echelon, you know, when I'd been back with the major. I think I was funny, darling. So when he said, I says, I love it.
So he just approached you and asked you?
Yeah, he told us I was going back to the echelon stores.
And was pleased?
Oh, I was pleased, yeah, get out the front. I felt safer behind. You know, you're a good 2 mile or something behind. A long way, you know, so you had more chance of getting away. So I was at the moment I got that.
Just finishing off the 3 days that you were there on 355, had much happened while you were there?
Yeah, there had been one or two skirmishes out in the point and that, and you were always getting these airstrikes and that, you know. And like I say, it was a busy part of the line, 355, would have been the highest.